On August 21st, Old Style, September 3rd, New Style, the life and passion of the holy higher martyr, Anthimus, Bishop of Nicomedia, and the many others with him. St. Anthimus was from the city of Nicomedia. While yet of tender years, he was shown to be perfect in his manner of life, and while still in the flower of his youth, the fruit of meekness blossomed forth in him. As he grew bodily, he also grew in spirit. Having reached manhood, he surpassed all in virtue, and although at the age when the passions generally manifest themselves openly, like tares among wheat, he was a shining example of passionlessness. He mortified his flesh and was humble of spirit, having uprooted envy from his heart, and in him there was no trace of wrath. No one ever saw him angry. Sloth he banished, gluttony and drunkenness had no place in him. On the contrary, he fasted strictly and was full of love and was peaceable toward all men. In every circumstance his behavior was prudent, and his zeal for God's glory was plain to all. Living such a virtuous life, he was soon raised to the priestly rank, a rank he bore worthily by wholly giving himself over to profitable labors and to prayer. He elevated his thoughts to God and instructed all by word and deed to follow the path to salvation. When the pastor of the Church of Nicomedia, St. Kirill, died, Anthimus was elevated to his throne. His election as a bishop was confirmed from on high, for at the time of his consecration the church was illumined by a heavenly light, and a divine voice was heard. Having received authority over the Church of Nicomedia, the good pilot preserved the ship thereof from being sunk amid the great waves. Although many Christian martyrs were cast into the sea for Christ's sake, they were not submerged by the waters of impiety, nor drowned by the storm of idolatry, nor yet did the depths of the abyss of Hades swallow them up, but through the instruction and guidance of Anthimus, their pilot, they attained to the calm harbor of heaven. This good pastor presented almost his entire flock to God, adorned with crowns of martyrdom, for at that time the idolaters raised up against the Christians a great persecution throughout all the eastern lands, especially in Nicomedia, where the impious emperors Diocletian and Maximian then dwelt. The saint instructed and strengthened all in preparation for the contest of martyrdom. "Now," said he, "we must show ourselves to be Christians in truth. The hour is at hand for great exertions. Let the soldier of Jesus Christ take his stand for the contest, for we must suffer a little here for Christ, who suffered much for us. Let us confess him here before men, so that he might confess us here before his Father, who is in the heavens. Let us glorify him here before men, so that he might glorify us there before his angels. Let us glorify God through our bodies, giving ourselves over to torment. Let us not fear the persecutors who put us to death, for if they kill us, they thereby become the cause of our attaining life most blessed. If our heads are cut off, the right hand of the setter of our contest will crown them with imperishable crowns. If our members are mangled, they will shine like the sun in his kingdom. The wounds they inflict shall eternally multiply reward to us. The blood they shed will usher us into the chamber of the heavenly bridegroom. Let us resist impiety, even to the shedding of blood. Let us become a spectacle to angels and men." With these and similar words, the saint strengthened his flock. Many were the faithful who boldly gave themselves up in those days to bitter torments for the sake of the most sweet Lord Jesus. One of those most fervent zealots of faith in God undertook the following bold action. When the imperial command, ordering that the Christians be delivered up to death, was read in the center of the city of Nicomedia, and the scrolls upon which it was written were nailed up on a wall in a public place, he came before all and confessed Christ, tearing the ordinance from the wall and ripping it to shreds with a great voice denouncing pagan impiety. Thus he became the first martyr in Nicomedia. Thereafter, a large number of magnates and courtiers of the imperial palace, such as Dorotheus, Mardonius, Mygdonius, Peter, Indesus, and Gorgonius, together with their numerous companions, began to confess Christ openly, saying that they were Christians, giving themselves over to torment for Christ. Many of these nobles were killed by the persecutors. At the same time, an event occurred that resulted in the utmost grief for the Christians. The imperial palace somehow caught fire, and the greater portion of it burned down. The impious pagans ascribed the fire to the Christians, saying, "The Christians set the fire out of malice." The emperor's wrath was inflamed, and having become more savage than a beast, began to slaughter Christians, who were cut down by the sword and burned by fire in great numbers. Notwithstanding these horrors, many of the faithful, both men and women, consumed by divine love, voluntarily gave themselves over to the flames, as though the piles of timber in which they were bound were places of refreshment. Other Christians were placed in boats in great numbers and sunk in the depths of the sea. Not only did the living suffer, but the emperor, in his unquenchable wrath, commanded his men to dig up the bodies of the martyrs which had been honorably buried, lest they be venerated by the remaining Christians. During this great persecution, Saint Anthemus, like a lamb led to the slaughter, was sought out above all others. Before attacking the shepherd, the wolves fell upon his flock. For God did hid Anthemus in a village named Semana, so that he might first dispatch to the Lord his rational sheep, and then himself follow, sealing the faith of the Church of Nicomedia by the shedding of his own blood. 20,000 martyrs were consumed by fire in a church on the day of the Nativity of Christ, and the remnant of his flock were locked in prison, where the saint instructed and strengthened them by the frequent epistles he sent them secretly. For although he was not with them in body, being for a time separated from them by the will of God, yet in spirit he was with them in prison, providing them with spiritual nourishment through his letters. The sheep openly, and the pastors secretly, struggled with the wolves, for the saint hid himself, not from fear of torture, but so that by his instruction and prayers he might confirm the weak, strengthen the feeble, and make bold the fearful. Then, having presented them all to Christ, he could freely offer himself up to similar torments. Strengthened by Anthemus's exhortations, one of the faithful, a soldier named Zenonus, publicly rebuked the emperor Maximian for his impiety. Near the arena in Nicomedia, there was a pagan temple of the goddess Circe, who was much venerated. Maximian, with his soldiery and all the people, offered great sacrifice to that goddess, worshipping her idol. At the time of that festival, which was hateful to God, Zenonus emerged on a high place and cried out to the emperor in a loud voice, "You delude yourself, O emperor, worshipping stone which has no breath, and dumb wood. This is but the deceit of the demons, who lead to destruction those who worship them. Hear the truth, Maximian, and turn your eyes to the heavens, and gazing upon the beauties of creation, learn of the Creator, for from that which is made, the attributes of the Maker may be discerned. Learn from them to worship God, who is pleased not with the blood of beasts offered in sacrifice, nor in the stench of their burnt flesh, but with pure souls and the chaste hearts of men, his rational creation." Hearing this, Maximian commanded that Zenonus be seized and beaten in the face and on the mouth with a stone for his bold words. His teeth were knocked out, his face crushed, and his tongue, which confessed Christ, was cut out. Finally, he was led barely alive out of the city, and by imperial command, his sacred head was cut off. At that time, Anthemus sent a deacon from his hiding place with letters which he had written to Dorotheus, who was languishing in prison, and to all those confined with him for Christ's sake, exhorting them to patience, that with rejoicing they might accept death for the Lord, who grants life to all. The deacon was captured by the pagans and brought before the emperor Maximian, together with St. Anthemus's letters to the martyrs. The emperor read the letters and was enraged by their contents, for they conveyed heartfelt salutations to the prisoners, expressions of sincere compassion, fatherly instruction, pastoral teaching, a hierarchical blessing, and strengthening for the struggle of martyrdom, and the trampling underfoot of the idols. All this maddened the emperor, and he ordered that all the prisoners be brought out of the dungeon and assigned before his tribunal, from which with proud gaze and beastly glare he rebuked them all. He commanded that Anthemus's epistles be read as their indictment. "You believe," said he, "the devious fables of this evil man, and you are obedient to his perverted teaching rather than to the imperial ordinance?" Upon hearing the epistle being read and seeing Anthemus's deacon, the prisoners rejoiced, shedding tears of joy. They greeted the deacon, who was standing with a bright countenance, joyous face, and bowed head. St. Anthemus's words, which they heard read in reproach, they laid up in their hearts with joy. Then the emperor asked the deacon, "Tell us, where do you come from? Who entrusted to you these letters which pervert the people? And where is he hiding who sent you?" The deacon opened his mouth, full of grace, and began to speak, saying, "He who sent these letters is our pastor, who, being far away from his flock, instructs it by letter, inciting it to piety. Especially when he hears that wolves have fallen upon his flock, he instructs his sheep with a great voice, guiding them as to what they ought to do. He proclaims the words spoken by the preeminent shepherd, 'Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul.' I now bring this letter to the flock of Christ, but I will not tell you where the shepherd is, for it would be great foolishness for me to betray my pastor, from whom all derive so much profit, and who will, in any event, soon be revealed, for a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." The persecutor was enraged by these bold words, and condemned to death the holy deacon, whose name was Theophilus. First they cut out his sweetly speaking tongue, then they beat him with stones, and shot him through with arrows, killing him. Then the other martyrs were brought to trial, and command was given that they be executed by various means. St. Dorotheus's head was cut off, and Mardonius was consumed by fire. Mygdonius was cast into a pit and buried alive. Gorgonius, Indisus, and Peter were thrown into the sea, with a millstone hung about their necks, and all the others were variously tortured to death. And thus they all appeared before their common Lord. The bodies of the martyrs who had been cast into the sea were brought up in nets by fishermen, and they were buried by a maiden whose name was Domna. When the impious pagans learned what she had done, they slew her with the sword as she prayed over the relics of the saints. After many torments, Euthymius, who by his teaching had led many to confess Christ and undertake the struggle of martyrdom, also met his end by the sword in Nicomedia. Finally, the time arrived for St. Anthemus to suffer for his witness of Jesus Christ. While the saint was hiding in the village of Semana, secretly sowing the word of God and spreading the faith of Christ the Lord, Maximian learned of his whereabouts and at once dispatched 20 horsemen to capture him. When they arrived at that village, they were met by St. Anthemus, and they inquired of him, "Where is Anthemus, the Christian teacher, to be found?" The saint led them into his hut and said, "I will deliver Anthemus into your hands, only rest a while first from your journey." After offering them gracious hospitality and preparing food for them, he revealed himself. Chrysanthemis, saying, I am he whom you seek, take me, and lead me to him who sent you. Hearing this, the soldiers were amazed, beholding his honorable gray hairs and the gracious reception and hospitality he had offered them. They were ashamed. They considered how their escorting this innocent and good man to the tormentor would plainly result in cruel torments and his death. They were ashamed before Anthemus and said to the saint, We shall not take you with us, rather we counsel you to hide yourself. We shall say to Maximian that we have searched the whole of Nicomedia for Anthemus and have not found him. Anthemus, who scrupulously kept the commandments of the Lord, insisted that the soldiers tell the truth, for he did not wish them to lie for his sake. Desiring to die for Christ, he departed with them. As they journeyed together, he spoke with them of the word of God, teaching them the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the seed of the word was sown not in vain, for it fell upon good ground and took root in their hearts, growing to perfection of faith. When they arrived at a river, he prayed and baptized them all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Whereupon they continued their journey, engaging in spiritual conversation until they reached the city. When Anthemus entered the city, his presence was announced to Maximian, who ordered that he be brought bound before him. The saint was led before the persecutor with hands tied behind his back. It was fitting that he should stand before the impious tribunal of the pagans for truth's sake. Bound as though he were a criminal, yet with mind unfettered and uplifted to the heavens whence he awaited succor, the tormentor commanded that all of the instruments which had been prepared for torture be displayed, hoping by this sight to terrify Anthemus from the start so that he might take fright and submit to the imperial will. Then the emperor began to question him. Are you that Anthemus who is emperor? Are you that Anthemus who is deceived by a base fellow named Christ, and who leads the common people into the same error, deluding them and beguiling them into opposing our sovereign command with interminable barkings, blaspheming and reviling our gods? The saint laughed both at the display of the implements of torture and at the emperor's words. And he said, I would not answer your questions at all had not the divine apostle taught us to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. For God has promised to give us a mouth and a wisdom which all adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. I mock your idols which you call gods, and I laugh at your great foolishness, for you hope to separate me from my Creator, who has honored even you, his ungrateful creation, with the gift of his image. You have brought me bound before your tribunal, and placed these instruments of torture before my eyes. Do you wish to frighten me with them, so that in fear I might submit to your godless ordinance? It is not possible to frighten one who submits himself to die for his Lord. Keep these sights for those who are faint-hearted and cowardly, who derive great consolation from this temporal life, who count the deprival of this transitory existence a great loss. Attempt to frighten not me, but them with these things, for I consider this corruptible body and temporal life to be a prison, which prevents my soul from attaining to my God. As for threats, punishments, and tortures, they are more pleasant than everything which is sweet, for their end is death. And after they have freed me from the bonds of the flesh, they will dispatch me to that place for which I so greatly long. After the saint had spoken, the tormentor commanded that he be beaten on the neck with a stone. Anthemus accepted this torture with gratitude as the beginning of his sufferings for Christ and as the means whereby he would be deemed worthy of crowns. Desiring to receive greater wounds so that he might inherit a richer reward, he mocked and laughed at the torturer, and seeking to enrage him, repeated the saying of the prophet, Let the gods which have not made heaven and earth perish. These words pierced the heart of the tormentor, and he ordered that burning, hot, sharp iron spikes be twisted through the martyr's feet. By this torment was the cause of joy to the saint, and he rejoiced and praised God, who had deemed him worthy to undergo such torments for the name of Jesus Christ. Maximian then ordered that sharp shards be strewn on the ground, and that the sufferer be placed on them and beaten severely with iron rods, so that his heart might be pierced with a twofold pain from above, from being beaten with the iron rods, and from below, from being pricked by the shards. But even then the saint did not despair of triumph over the tormentor, and he cried out, "I thank thee, O Lord, King of the ages, for thou hast girded me with power for war. In subjection under me hast thou bound the feet of all them that rose up against me, and thou hast made mine enemies turn their back before me, and them that hate me hast thou utterly destroyed." The tormentor then devised another torture. He fitted Anthemius's feet with heated brass boots. However, divine grace from on high strengthened the sufferer in his torments, and he heard a voice promising that he would soon receive his crown, whereupon he rejoiced, giving no heed to the tortures. Instead, he laughed with joy, as though he were suffering no pain whatsoever. Seeing this, the tormentor was dumbfounded, and said that Anthemius was a wizard who by some sorcery had overcome the power of fire. The emperor questioned the saint as to why he rejoiced in such tortures, to which he replied, "I am joyful because the present sufferings are a certain assurance of promised blessings. Soon I shall overcome the vanity of your arrogant pride, and shall show the power of your gods to be much feebler than that of men. And you will repent of your malice for eternity. But in vain, for you shall not depart this life without first being condemned to eternal damnation." The torturer was inflamed yet more by these words, and commanded that the saint be fastened to a wheel and spun as his body was being burned with fire. When the servants had bound Anthemius to the wheel and begun to stoke the fire as they had been commanded, they suddenly fell down as though dead. For the wheel ceased to turn, and the fire shot back upon them and burned them. Then they reported to the tormentor, saying, "When we began to rotate the wheel and burn him, three radiant men appeared near us, who said, 'Fear not, servant of God Anthemius.' When they looked at us, we were overcome by fear. And the fire which was beneath the wheel turned into our faces and burned us." Upon hearing this, the persecutor was astonished, but he ascribed it all to sorcery. Removing Saint Anthemius from the wheel, he condemned him to beheading by the sword should he not sacrifice to the idols. When the martyr learned that he was to be beheaded, he rejoiced and prayed fervently to God that he grant him to be united with his flock, which had gone before him along the path of martyrdom to the heavens, so that he might say, "Behold, I and the children which God hath given me." First, however, the impious emperor ordered Anthemius cast into a dungeon and fettered with irons. As they drew near to the place where he was to be imprisoned, the saint praised and blessed God for all things. Suddenly, a light shone upon him from heaven, shattering his chains and terrifying the servants who were escorting him. Anthemius raised them to their feet again and directed that they accomplish what had been commanded of them. Arriving at the prison, the saint entered among the criminals and robbers confined there, rejoicing as though he had been led to a banquet or a wedding. Offering the prisoners the spiritual nourishment of the Word of God and the food of piety, he gained them for Christ, uniting them to the Church and instructing them in the faith and in good deeds. He then renewed them there in the prison, in the waters of baptism. Thus that dungeon was transformed into a luminous church, full of the Holy Spirit, wherein the prisoners by day and by night offered the sacrifice of praise to God. Learning of these events, Maximian ordered that the saint be brought before him again. He began with flattery in an attempt to incline the saint to worship the gods, promising to make him the foremost of the priests of the idols. But Anthemus, with his usual boldness, answered the emperor, "Even before you said these words, I was chief among the priests of God, a priest of Christ, the chief shepherd who was clothed in my flesh and descended from on high for my sake. He became a sacrifice for the people to God the Father, died upon the cross, was buried, arose on the third day, and ascended into the heavens in glory, raising up with himself all who believe in him. I am his priest, and to him I offer myself as a living sacrifice. As for your priesthood, sacrifices, and false gods, they are but vanity, and are destined for eternal darkness." Hearing this, the tormentor condemned Anthemus to death. Full of joy, the saint went to his death, saying, "Now is the hour of my rejoicing. Now have I received what I desire. Now is the door to eternal life open to me, that departing from the body, I might go to the Lord and be filled with his glory, be filled when his glory appears before me." Arriving at the place appointed for his translation from temporal death to life unending, he asked time for prayer, and having prayed at length, he bowed his holy head, which was then cut off with an axe, in accordance with the emperor's command. Thus Anthemus received his martyric crown on the third day of September. When evening arrived, some of the faithful came, took his long-suffering body, and buried it reverently, glorifying the Holy Trinity. Amen.